Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me, as always, is David Hilton.
Are we still going short intro?
Yeah, I'm going to do the plug for the show later.
I still see the disgusting...
Oh, it's
yellow paper that I saw last week.
This paper's 4.5 years old.
I know. It's disgusting. It's got your grimy, oily... I can't believe... You know what? Never mind. I'm not touching
it's
that
yellow.
Anymore. It's fucking...
The Declaration of Independence is whiter than this thing.
Dude, I bet I could read the Declaration better than I could read that.
Yeah.
Oh, so, my God, dude. I am... Look, we've had a bunch of tornadoes and storms and everything.
Yep.
And I don't... Like, I don't want to see people's shit get tore up. But I love the fact, dude, summer's here.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's warm. The grass is green.
Yep.
The garden's getting ready to go in. Like, okay.
The woods are green.
Let's go, dog.
Yep.
I went total Dave's a dumb fuck moment. I went shed hunting. I don't know if it was last. I think it was last weekend. I think it was Saturday. I was like, I'm just going to go for a little while. I'm going to go down the woods. Guess who forgot to put his fucking tick spray on?
Oh, yeah.
Guess who pulled fucking... like 4 ticks off his nuts.
You got a left nut the size of a grapefruit.
This fucking
now.
Guy.
Yeah.
No, it's okay now, but yeah, like Sunday, I was like, oh.
Yeah, they're out thick.
I found, dude, they are thick already. I found 2 morels. Bonus.
Never found one in my life.
No sheds.
Interesting.
No sheds. So weird. Pulled all my game cameras. Man, I am really bad about putting my cameras out and then not regularly.
Really?
Well, I told you. I'm fucking going to be drunk today. Checking the cards.
Yeah.
Like, so sometimes it'll go 2-3 weeks. Dude, I had like 5,000 images.
Cool.
I've only gone through like half of them. Most of them are squirrels, birds, turkeys.
Rantoons.
That's it. Like, yeah, rantoons. Nothing like nothing cool. Like, I mean, a couple of bucks that had already dropped their antlers, but I gotta get better at that.
Yeah.
So I pulled all those. So
I
fishing season.
My buddies have the ones that send all the pictures to their phone.
Yeah, I should probably just do that.
And I would imagine those things are pretty expensive. Now they use them for security on that land, and so that way they're getting live pictures if anybody's out there messing around.
The cameras aren't anymore, and it's really only like $10 or $12 a month now
for the cell service.
I need to just probably upgrade and go that way.
Yeah.
Like I have some really nice Bushnell cameras. I mean they're fantastic. They'll take sound, video, stills. They'll do time stills. But it's like, if I got to go out there and deal with it.
That raccoon that lives in my backyard, the boys are like, we need to set up a game camera. I'm like, guys, really? It's a raccoon.
Do you want to borrow my live trap?
No.
And so you can pet him and your wife could start like bringing him into the house and play with the cats?
We just need to start feeding him on a more regular basis. And then I've actually got a lot of videos where people will like open their back door and they keep a box of Ritz crackers by the back door.
Dude, they love
and the raccoons will just sit out there at dusk because they know it's coming. And the owner just opens up the back door and holds out a Ritz. And one by one, the raccoons just come up and grab a Ritz and walk away.
You do know that they carry rabies, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I ain't worried. Rabies is like salmonella. Name me one person that's had salmonella in their life that you know. Nobody can ever name me anybody that's had salmonella, but yet nobody lets me eat raw cookie dough. They're just keeping me from living my life.
Is salmonella E. coli, or are they different?
They're different.
Okay. Then I don't know, but it's not because I don't think people haven't had it. It's because when you shit your brains out or vomit profusely, you don't always go to the hospital and say, hey, check me for salmonella.
Yeah.
Just roll on, drink some Gatorade, you know, change your underwear a few times and move on with your life. Like, that's it.
Danielle and I, last week for date night, we went to Captain's in Grand Valley. You want to talk about a place that's going downhill pretty
quick. Dude, that place sucks.
Yeah.
It sucked for 3 years. I can't believe it's fucking open.
And so, like, she got some drink that it took them way too long to make. They kept coming out in a pot. It's 3 ingredients. And it's on the menu. It's not like even a custom drink. They kept coming out and saying that they're working on it. They're making it 1 ingredient at a time. It's like a rum and coke kind of drink. Well,
grenadine rum and coke.
Yeah,
take 3 seconds to make.
I think I was getting Crown and no, I was getting like their house margarita, and their house margarita was weird. Well, then I asked for an old fashioned, and it's like house bourbon on the rocks, no nothing else, no bitters, no nothing. And I'm like, that's fucking gross.
Yeah. And well, so, first off, house bourbon is shit.
Yeah.
But if you're going to drink good bourbon, on the rocks is the only way to drink it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to have bitters, you got to have the cherry, you got to, you know.
You got to have simple syrup, like.
Oh, yeah, simple you need syrup. All the, I knew I was missing something. All the things.
But.
That place is a shithole, dude.
So the next morning, I'm getting ready to leave for the gym, and Danielle, like, she's like, I got to go shit. She blows up the bathroom, and she's like, I don't know what it is, but maybe it's whatever I ate for lunch or something. Like, she
did you
was,
guys eat there?
We just got an appetizer.
Oh.
And so then I get to the gym, and I text her, and I'm like, definitely wasn't whatever you ate. Definitely was Captain's. Because I'm blowing up the gym bathroom. So we're not going to go there for a while.
No,
for sure.
Dude, that Green Valley place is a dump.
Yeah.
It's a dump. Yeah. Like I
the one at Lotto or Lake Tepewingo, not bad.
Lotawana.
Or Lotawana, yeah.
We'll go there. I used to go there a lot. Their food, it's gone downhill too.
Yeah.
But it's still okay.
Yeah.
Like it's quality, it's clean. I never get sick. It's okay. But if I'm going to go over there, dude, I've been hitting the Canoe Club up.
Yeah.
That place is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's $10 more.
We may go to the Canoe Club for date night tomorrow night.
I love Canoe Club.
So
I've been thinking about, hey, Marina 27 has 50% off wines on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe it's time for a 27 hit up.
Yeah, we did that.
I still owe you a dinner, by
we
the
did
way.
That like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I haven't forgot. For date night. I have not forgot.
This week we are going to talk about the importance of your sales process and the importance of delivering three options. And this is something that we often overlook, and it's very easy to get out of the routine of demanding of yourself that you present three options to every customer you see in the field. And we only have one exception in our company where there's only one call where you're not required to give three options, and that's on a mainline clog. Not every mainline clog has three options available until you get it unclogged. Once you get it unclogged, you got tons of options. But until you get it unclogged, you're kind of limited. And so, because we don't offer jetting or anything like that, it's like we're going to auger it open.
Yeah.
And then we're going to look at some options.
I'm assuming kitchen drains and tubs and stuff like that are the same way. Until I can see what the fuck's going on, what am I supposed to do?
Right, right. Yeah. But every other call, we require three options. And when the guy's performance, their sales performance starts dropping and their customer satisfaction support performance starts dropping, it's always, always because they're not giving three options.
Yeah.
And then they come up with all these excuses. Well, that one was different. There wasn't really three. Well, you suck. That's the well. And it just is what it is.
Well, it's just a lack of discipline.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like the three option mentality is in our sales process, and it's the lack of discipline to stick with that sales process. And so I put my own plumbers through a little bit of a test. They don't know this yet, but I'm giving them a talk here in a little bit. I put my own plumbers through a little bit of a test recently, and I've been staging this talk ever since I created this test. And this test was created back in January.
Continue.
My plumbers, we've never owned a new sewer camera. Every sewer camera we've ever owned was used. The first sewer camera we ever owned was actually my original sewer camera when I started a sewer and replacement division at a previous company I worked at.
Okay, stolen property. Got it. I love
Not
it.
Not stolen.
I love everything about
Called
it.
Called them up, bought it used.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now it was lobbed off at 83 feet because because somebody kinked it and it got terminated at 83 feet. But it was enough to get me started, and it wasn't $12,000 for a new camera. I think I spent like $2,500 on the camera and the locator.
Gotcha, bye.
And so then I would just keep my eye out for other used cameras, and that we kind of built a little inventory or repertoire of used cameras. But thing with used is they wear out fast and everything else, and they have problems. And so the time definitely came, especially with us wanting to do a lot more sewer work, the time definitely came for us to buy new cameras.
Yeah.
And so I told the guys I'm going to buy all the used ones we had were rigid cameras and rigid locators. And so I told the guys I'm going to buy rigid cameras and rigid locators.
I like rigid cameras. I don't like their locators that much.
And they were like, no, we need to check out these Milwaukees, and we need to check out these Vivaxes, and we need to check out these Chinese cameras and all of that stuff.
I do love me a Vivax.
And so I pushed back on them, and I'm like, guys, Rigid's the way. It's always been the way and all this. And this is, keep in mind, this whole thing is planned. It's architect, like I orchestrated this whole thing, architected this whole conversation.
Orchestrated was the correct term, sir.
Yeah. So I'm letting them push back on me and letting them push back on me, and I'm holding my ground. And then finally I said, okay, guys, I'll look into these Milwaukees. I said, David and I are going to the wet show for Tradewinds. I'll get my hands on every camera I want. I'll look into the Milwaukees and see.
I'll be able to actually test and see what
and,
I think.
And in the back of my mind, I already know I'm buying the Milwaukees. I already know it.
Yeah.
But
you told me that on the way there. You're my plan is to buy Milwaukee cameras.
Yeah. And my plan was to come home with them. Since we drove there in a truck, I wanted to bring them home, and they would not sell them to me at the show.
Told you to fuck off.
So we go to the show, and I buy two new Milwaukee cameras and locators and all the fixins and everything else.
I was thinking you got three. Was it just the two?
Just two.
Okay.
And the way the new Milwaukee cameras work is they're all separate. Like the reel is one piece, the locator is one piece, and the monitor is one piece.
Yeah, Vivax is the same way.
And you can actually cast the image. You don't need the monitor. You can cast the image to your phone if you want.
Or iPad, if you guys are using iPads.
Yep. And so what's funny is they demanded that I buy, if I go Milwaukee, they demanded getting a reel, a monitor, and locators.
It's probably nice to have the monitor in case something happens to the tablet or your phone.
They're already not using the monitor. So it's like frivolous spending of somebody else's money, right?
I agree 100%. And there will be one where it doesn't work and they're like, oh, shit, okay.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, it's a little bit better to have it on your phone because once it's on your phone,
you can now send that
video to your customer and everything else. So the reason I was pushing back on them so hard was they are customers of the company.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
When the company is getting ready to deliver a product or a service to the employee, they are a customer of the company. They're an internal customer.
Yeah.
And they proved a very valuable lesson that they don't even know they proved yet. They want options, and they want to be in control of the buying decision. And when I went to them with one option, and that was Rigid,
They were mad. Yep.
They didn't like it. They pushed back. We should check out these. We should check out these. I like these. These have a cool feature. I like this.
Yeah.
And so I let them push the issue to prove how much customers want options.
Yeah.
And a little bit different scenario because they aren't buying the cameras, but they have to use them day in and day out.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, it's not apples and oranges, but it's green apples and red apples.
Yeah. And so, here next week, I'm going to have a talk with them, reminding them the importance of the three-option mentality. Because they demanded three options from me. When they were in the customer's shoes, they demanded three options.
Yeah.
And so it creates a perfect opportunity for me to turn that accountability right back on them and say, hey, if you demanded three options from me, what do you think your customers want?
Dude.
Right? And
they're going to understand the lesson, learn the lesson, and be mad at the same fucking time.
Hopefully.
Yeah, no, I mean,
a little bit of anger is going to be what sets it home, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
But
a little bit of edge always will plant that seed a little bit deeper in your brain, and you'll remember.
Yeah.
It's like when you fuck up. When you fuck up and it costs you money, or you fuck up and it makes you real mad,
yeah,
you remember that shit for a long fucking time.
Yeah. Every lesson is expensive. You can either pre-buy the education up front to avoid the expensive mistake.
Yeah.
Or you can learn firsthand how expensive the mistake can be.
Yeah. Man.
One gets you to the answer a lot faster than the other.
I will say this. The older I get, I wish that sometimes I would have just spent the money to learn the lesson instead of learning everything the hard way. I'm like a...
That's a wisdom thing, though.
Yeah, it is.
As you get older and you get a little bit more wisdom, you realize how valuable the education would have been ahead of time on some things.
On some things. It's not everything.
Yeah.
And there's it's not a loss. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You don't regret that it happened, but if you could go back and be like, man, I wish I could have just avoided that with a little bit of actual education.
Yep.
Maybe would have saved, 5 years of my life.
Yeah, some of that comes down to what is, like, if this thing fails because I'm not educated, what's the consequences, right?
Yeah.
So, for instance, if I don't know how to drive a car and I get behind the wheel and I have a failure, consequence could be death. So a little bit of pre-education to learn how to drive a car comes in handy, right? However, if I'm trying to assemble two pieces of material together and the pieces of material are cheap and I don't know how to assemble them, I could try a certain way, and if it doesn't work...
Who cares?
I burned up a couple of PVC fittings and it didn't work. Low failure rate, low consequence. And so for that, it's probably better and easier and more effective to learn firsthand. But in this case, with the three-option mentality, I set the stage months ago to where now I'm going to drive home a lesson for them on how important it is. And I've got some other things that I know sometimes my guys listen to this show, and so I don't want to give the entire talk away. I'll probably do this next week.
When are you doing the talk?
It'll be after this show drops, but before the next one drops. So I may give you guys a follow-up on the next show about how this thing's going to go. But
just complete side tangent. Have you thought about recording it for TW?
Maybe. Could.
Dude, if you want
complete
transparency, I'll bring the camera.
Yeah, we might do that.
I'll fucking help you out.
But
you got to give me some heads up. You can't call me 1 hour before and be like, hey, remember what we talked about?
Yeah. but it'll be a very resounding lesson for them because they got to see it firsthand. And for anybody that hasn't gotten to see anything like this firsthand, you actually have. You just don't even know it. If you've ever online shopped for anything and you went to a store where they only had one option, you did not buy from that store and that one option the first go round. You checked other stores. You checked other options. You took control of your buying decision. Nobody has ever bought a car without comparing it to other cars.
Ugh.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody
paralysis by analysis, man. Yeah.
If I go into a Ford dealership and say, I want a new Super Duty, and they say, cool, you're going to get the 7.3 liter gas Godzilla engine. You're going to get a single rear wheel. You're going to get a crew cab, but you're going to get a short bed. I'd be like, no, the fuck I'm not.
No, I want to see what the fuck's out there, bro.
I want to see the options and I want to pick for myself.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, we demand options in our buying decisions every day, right? If I went to McDonald's and they said, oh, you're guest number 643 today, so that means you get two cheeseburgers, a small fry, and a cone. I'd be like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you roll up and they're like, all we got left is burritos.
Yeah.
Breakfast burritos. That's it. That's what you're getting.
Right.
What the fuck I am?
Right. And so, like, we're presented with options every day. And like, and I mean everywhere, right? You go to the gas pump, you got options.
Dude, have you been to the new Amoco on Colburn Road?
No, I haven't. I've driven by it.
You should pull in there.
Yeah?
Dude, they have like five gas choices.
Oh, yeah. Probably diesel, probably E85, and then probably an ultra high octane, like a...
They have
like a 93 instead of a 91.
They have a 93 or they have a 91 red handle.
Oh,
no,
yep.
Ethanol.
No
they
ethanol.
Have a 93 high octane with ethanol.
Yep.
They have like a 10%. Then they have like their mid grade.
Yep.
And then they have diesel on top of that. It's like every pump has different options than other pumps because there aren't enough options that are installed.
They can't
in
fit them in all one
pump.
Yeah.
And so you're in the, literally, Jenny, this is what she says to me. She goes, I'm going to pull in here and get gas. You tell me what to get. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
And she's setting me up the whole time. I get out and I look around and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
She's like, seriously, I came in here. I didn't know what to get.
Yeah.
Like, I there's too much.
And so, like, that's what I mean when I say we demand options in every buying decision we make. We're foolish to not give our customers options. Because if you went to a gas station and the only thing they had was 87 octane, and that was it, you're probably pulling out of that gas station and going somewhere else.
Or you're getting 2 gallons so that you can get somewhere else.
Right.
And that's it.
Right. And what's crazy is if you go to another gas station where they have 87, 89, and 91, you might still buy the 87 now that you can compare its price to the 89 and the 91.
It's funny that you bring that up. I have been to gas stations that were two of them were out and they only had one. And I'm like, what kind of shady place is this? And I left just because I thought the place was a dump.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the option I had.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't trust this place. And I immediately left.
Yeah.
The same thing happens in the sales world. Yeah. I go to a house and I'm like, oh, this is the system you need. I'm talking HVAC. This is the system you need because I think it's best for you. Here's what you should buy. Mm-hmm. No one buys that.
No one.
No one.
Yeah.
You literally get shopped and you never close that sale.
Yeah.
That's like a 5% close rate on shit like that.
Yeah. And so it doesn't take but just a little bit of objective thinking, and you've probably already done it as you're listening to this show, to realize, yeah, I demand options everywhere I go. I would be royally pissed if I went to a car dealer and they told me which car I was buying.
Or there was only black.
Right.
Even if they had all the other options, but the only color they had was black, would leave just to see what a white and a red and a blue one looked like.
And I may end up buying a black, but I want the choice to buy a black. I don't want to be pigeonholed.
Yeah, you don't go to Walmart and you go to the towel aisle and you're like, oh, shit, there's one? No, there's four fucking aisles of towels.
Yeah, they got four different colors of white.
Yeah. And then one of them, you're like, oh, that's fantastic. And you buy fucking six of them.
Yeah. And so, options create the opportunity for a sale. And if you ever find yourself in a position where your customer is saying, well, I guess I don't have a choice, you didn't provide enough options. Right. Yeah. Now, the only time that could be is like you show up to their house and their water heater's like popped and leaking all over the floor. They don't have a choice to buy a new water heater. They need to buy a new water heater, but they should have a choice in which water heater option they go with.
Yeah.
And so, we do three different options for like a standard tank type water heater. We have three different options. And we don't give our customers decision fatigue either. We have a low grade option, a mid grade option, and a high grade option. And we call it our deluxe, our...
here we go.
Oh, shoot. My mind just went blank.
You have standard, deluxe, premier, right? Or is it deluxe, premier, plus?
It's basic, deluxe, and premier is what it is. So we have a basic water heater package, a deluxe water heater package, and a premier water heater package. It's the same water heater in all three packages. We don't care if it's 40 or 50. We don't care if it's gas or electric. Your customer doesn't care either.
No.
And so, like... Imagine if I gave my customer 13 different options for a water heater. Well, if you want a 40 electric, it's going to be this. If you want a 50 electric, it's going to be this. If you want a 50 electric with a pressure reducing valve, it's going to be this. If you want a 50 electric with a thermal expansion tank, it's going to be this. If you want a 40 electric with a thermal expansion tank and a pressure reducing valve, it's going to be this. Like, you will overwhelm them with options.
I'm numb already.
Yeah. And that was only the electrics.
Yeah.
Right? And that wasn't even all of them. And so... We will give our customers a deluxe, a standard, or a premier option, a basic, a deluxe, or a premier, and that's their choice of 40 or 50. We tell them if a 50 will fit, we're putting a 50 in, gives them more hot water, doesn't cost them any more.
Yeah.
If they're gas currently, that's for a gas unit. If they're electric currently, that's for an electric unit. Same three options, prices, 40 or 50, gas or electric, doesn't matter. And so that sells most heaters. Okay. Now, some people will see the price of that top option. Now, granted, we give them a healthy warranty on that top option. Some people will see the price option and say, wow, holy cow, that's really expensive. What do those tanklesses cost? Well, now they're asking us for more options.
Yeah.
Creates a different environment. And so, well, you know, you had a standard water heater, so that's what I priced you. But if you'd like pricing for tankless, I can get that for you real quick. And we give them three options for a tankless heater.
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing. And so now they get the choice. Do I want to go regular conventional water heater or do I want to go tankless? And one thing we will not do is we will not install an electric tankless. hardline.
I can't believe they even fucking make those, dude.
I know.
So, and guys, put them in, man.
Point of use units in commercial, I get it. You get a bathroom that's in the middle of a giant space,
and you don't have
any way to run hot water. Like, I get point of use units. But
yeah,
whole home electric tanklesses.
Yeah,
such a joke.
We call them no choice units.
Yeah,
like you just don't have a choice. You got to have this. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, you look them in the face. I'm sorry. You have to buy this.
Right.
But there's nothing we can do.
But
I
even
can run
then,
gas over here. But that's going to be another $2,500, and I know you don't want to pay that.
We'll give them several sizing options.
Yeah.
Like, what's your flow rate that you want for this?
Yeah.
And how much do you want to spend on the electrician to run the power to it, or if it's already got power to it, then we'll give them sizing options that'll work with the power they've got.
Yeah.
But three options for literally everything. Every sewer we replace, we give them three options for a sewer. And
but on a sewer replacement, if you're replacing the whole thing from the main to the house,
mm-hmm.
it's not pipe differential. It's the way you set the yard up.
So some of it may be how much we restore the yard.
Yeah.
Right? Do you want us to just throw the dirt back in the hole, leave it mounted, and leave? Do you want us to compaction backfill the dirt to where we can't guarantee it won't be mounded, but we can guarantee it won't settle?
Yeah.
Right?
Or minimal settling.
Or would you like complete full turnkey restoration?
Yeah.
Where we compaction backfill, we come back a couple weeks later, final grade, seed, straw, sod, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And we always go sod because nobody ever waters seed.
And then,
it doesn't come up,
and
they
sell
your seed was bad.
Did you get that from grass pad, you hack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we always go sod because it's green when we leave, and now it's on you, is what it is. So
I love it. I love it.
But we'll also give them options. Like, if we're running out of options, like, let's say it's under a driveway. Well, now we have to do compaction backfill. But we'll give them an option of, do you want us to replace the concrete, or do you want to do that on your own?
Yeah. Do you want to sub that out yourself so that you can oversee it and it's perfect exactly how you want it? Or do you want us to just do
our person that we do and
the best match we can do? What do you want to do?
But then if we're limited on options, we'll add saw cutting and replacing the underslab piping under their basement. Again, we don't always add that, but when we need a third option, we bring that in.
Yeah.
That would
be my go-to for add-on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if it's cast.
That way you're all new plastic piping underground.
Yeah, if it's cast, I'm going with that as my highest option every time.
Yeah. And so that three options sells more sewers. Because if I go to you and I say it's going to be 18 grand for a sewer, take it or leave it, you're like, fuck, I can find somebody else to do this cheaper. But if I say I can do a spot repair for 7 grand, I can replace your entire sewer for 15 grand, or I can replace your entire sewer, compaction, backfill, final grade, seed, and straw for 18 grand. Well, now you feel like you have some skin in the game. You feel like you have some control over the decision.
Yeah.
And you might still choose the 18 grand, but now you have something to compare the price to. So it's relative.
It's funny what you said there. You have control of the decision. I think a lot of times people, like, we know this, people want to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel like they have quote unquote power over the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Options are what allow that in every little stupid situation when you're inside the home. And that doesn't matter if you're an electrician, you're a plumber, an HVAC tech. If you allow them to feel like they have power over you, someone that is in their home as quote unquote the expert,
mm-hmm.
and they can control the narrative, you win every time.
Yeah.
Like, you can, it's almost impossible to make a sale in that situation.
Yeah. Look at my guys with the sewer cameras. They were giving me pushback when I was saying we're buying rigids. Well, I don't know if we want sewer. Like, if we're just going to go from rigid to rigid, I don't know. And, like, they were literally coming up with every excuse they could. And I'm forcing them into this.
You're kind of an asshole.
I'm setting the stage for a presentation conversation later on. And so I'm forcing them to say all of the things that their customers are feeling when the tables are turned.
Yeah.
And so, but the same goes for... like the car thing, right?
Yeah.
People go car shopping. They don't go car buying. They don't just buy the car that the universe tells them to buy.
Yeah.
They want a say in it. Do I want leather? Do I not? Do I want a cool infotainment system? Do I not? Do I want a sunroof? Do I not? Do I want a manual transmission? Do I want an automatic?
Man.
You know, all depends.
Bring back more manuals.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's just for fun. Don't they know that we just want to have fun?
Right. Well, just wait until diesels are allowed to be EPA deleted from the factory. That'll be cool. I can't wait because that'll let me delete mine I want to delete my diesel, but it's so fucking expensive to do it. It's not worth it. However, the reason it's so expensive is because it's currently illegal to delete it. Once it becomes legal, you watch the price of a delete kit drop through the fucking floor. I can't wait.
I don't even care.
So
death's cheap. I mean,
it's just annoying is the thing.
It's annoying.
My truck will go, like, we've gotten within 100 miles of death range left, and it goes into limp mode and all of
really?
This. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my Chevy don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, the last bar will be blinking, and it'll run full speed till it's out. It don't give a fuck.
It's like a pre-limp mode. Like, you turn it off, turn it back on, and it's full.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's also because it's a fucking Ford.
And I'm like, Mason, just go piss in the death tank and let's roll. So.
It'd work for a while.
I mean, that's literally all death is urea. So
it is ammonia.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, all of those options are out there.
What
right?
the fuck is the matter with you?
Speaking of options, if you're looking for a CRM that will help you come up with options, Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company that's ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. Advanced features to run your CRM, your estimates, and your invoices, scheduling and dispatching, it'll give you those three option good, better, best proposals. It'll run your maintenance plans, and it'll even import the Tradewinds price book. The Tradewinds price book, by the way, is badass. It's the best price book on the market, and it's only $2.99. Plus,
shameless
Field Pulse.
Plug here.
Oh, no, no shame. No shame. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. And by simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability by allowing you to offer three options to your customers. And it's not just David and I saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8-star rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head to the link in the description at the bottom of this show to set up your discovery call with Field Pulse.
Field Pulse.
Field Pulse.
Field Pulse.
So, it's a good perk to be on a CRM when you're delivering three options because you can load it all up. You can call the options whatever you want.
Zero them all out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Add one.
Be shameful in the options. If one is a bare minimum option to get somebody by, call it a Band-Aid option, right?
Yeah.
That saves your ass later, by the way. Because here's the thing. Let's say somebody's toilet's running, and you say, I got you. I don't even give you options to get it fixed. I'm going to charge you $111 to replace your flapper, adjust the water level, and you're good. Well, let's say maybe their fill valve starts seeping and doesn't want to shut off next time. And so 3 weeks later, it's running again. Well, now you own the whole toilet under warranty because you didn't give them options. They paid you to fix it already.
And you didn't fix it,
and
bro.
You didn't fix it, right? So,
hack.
That same scenario, toilet rebuild, you go in there and you say, okay, the Band-Aid bare minimum option you need is a little bit of a water level adjustment and a new flapper. I can do that for $111. Or if you'd like me to replace the flapper, the fill valve, and the supply line, I can do that for $250. Or, I mean, all the parts of the toilet are the same age. The toilet appears to be in good shape, but like the tank to bowl seals, the flush valve, the supply stop, and all of that, that could fail too because it's all the same age. So if you would like a complete and total rebuild where we replace everything except the china, we're looking at $600. What would you want to do? And now they get the choice.
Yeah.
Here's the cool part. When they pick the Band-Aid option, let's say that the fill valve starts seeping by 3 weeks later.
You're covered, dog.
You're covered because now all you have to do is level up from what they paid for to the repair that they should have chosen.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, you're not baiting them into this. If you recognize that they need a new fill valve from the get-go, you need to tell them that, right? However, most of the time, what's going to happen is your customer's going to call in and they're going to say, oh, Mitch was out here and he gave me three options. And it's obvious I chose too cheap of an option because it's still not working. And so I need to have him back out, and I probably need to go with one of those better options.
Yeah.
So now they go from an upset phone call because they picked the one and only option you gave them and it didn't fix it. It changes the whole narrative of the conversation to they didn't pick a good enough option. This is their problem. And now instead of running a warranty call, you're actually getting more money by going out there again.
Yeah. And for guys that can't sell and aren't good communicators, it does the communication for you.
Yes.
In the explanation of the options,
yeah.
you are telling them, to your example, hey, these are all the same age. These could fail as well.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you give the explanation without being a salesman.
Yep.
And it just, it turns non-salesman plumbers, non-salesman HVAC guys, whatever, into salesmen.
Yeah.
Without being salesmen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're not, so like salesman kind of has a bad connotation because a lot of people think salesmen sell people stuff they don't need. People
yeah.
buy shit they don't need all the time. People want to buy stuff they don't need.
Fuck yeah, we
do.
The
problem is nobody wants to be sold something, but everybody loves to buy. So give them an option to buy without putting yourself in a selling position. And so what that is going to be that toilet rebuild. I'm going to give you an option to buy whatever toilet you want, whatever toilet rebuild you want. If I tell you that you need a new flapper and you need this adjustment, now I'm selling you a repair and I'm on the hook for anything that happens after that. But if I give you an option to buy at whatever level you want to buy at, well, now if you chose an inferior option, you're open to the idea that you may need to spend more money in the future.
Yeah.
And to tell you how much this actually works, I went to a customer's house a long time ago. And they had three builder's grade toilets in their house. And they had one on the main floor and they had two upstairs. The one on the main floor was a higher end builder's grade toilet because it was kind of their half bath powder room, kind of a nicer bathroom, yeah. right?
All of my guests are going to see this. Let's yes. make it nice, dog.
Yeah. And so that one, it was still builder's grade, but it was different, a different brand than the two upstairs. The two upstairs were both failing in the same way. The fill valves were drooling water out the fill valves when they would fill. They would like spray water out the top, and the flappers were rotten and waffled and not sealing anymore.
Yeah.
And so I tell them, you're going to have some options here. And you got two sets of options, because for your kid's bathroom, we can just do a fill valve and a flapper as a bare minimum repair. And keep in mind, when you're setting options, the smallest option does need to take care of their concern. Okay.
Yeah. It's got to fix the problem
yeah.
at hand.
And so on their case here, instead of like three rebuild options, because they already needed somewhat of a level two rebuild, not just a flapper and a water level adjustment and a tune-up, they also needed the fill valve as well for and on both toilets. I gave them the same three options for both toilets. So your kid's toilet, we can replace the fill valve and the flapper and the supply line, and we'll get it all set and adjusted and everything's good. Or I can replace everything except for the china, do a complete and total rebuild, or I can put in a whole new toilet. You pick your shape and size that you want. And he says, okay, well, what about the master toilet? I said, same three options for that one. It's failed in the same way. So at a bare minimum, it needs a fill valve and a flapper and a supply line and a tune-up. But I could replace all of the guts in it and every piece that's not porcelain. And you have a whole new toilet except for the porcelain, or I can replace it to a toilet. I said, for all I know, you don't like these toilets. Maybe they don't flush well. Like even when they're working right, maybe they don't flush well. Maybe they're too short. Maybe they're not long enough. Maybe you want an elongated toilet. Like everybody has their preferences. And so I've got a new toilet option on there for you as well. The guy's exact response, and I'll never forget this because it was so unique. He said, fuck them kids. Those kids don't take care of shit. Do the Band-Aid repair on theirs and put a new toilet in mine. So there's an incredibly
How
valuable...
How old were these kids at the time? I'm just curious. Are they like 8-year-old kids or are they like teenage
jackasses?
Yeah, no,
they're school-age kids.
Okay, gotcha.
But
that's fantastic.
So there's a very valuable lesson hiding in that. A person wants to buy on their terms, but their buying preferences change based off of the object they're buying and where it's located in their house.
Yeah.
And so the kids that don't take care of anything and spit toothpaste all over the place and leave the drains clogged and never clean out the sink and clog the toilets all the time and their bathtub's a wreck and everything else.
You're talking about my daughter?
Yeah. So like he's like, I'm not investing any more than I have to for them because yeah. they're not going to appreciate it. However, I'm a tall dude. That's a short, round toilet. I want a tall, elongated toilet. So give me a new toilet, Band-Aid theirs.
I love it.
If I had given the guy one option, he would have been mad. Because if the one option would have been new toilet, he would have been mad because he's overbuying for his kids. If the one option was the bare minimum of rebuilds, he would have been mad because I didn't give an option to him that he would have enjoyed better in his master. And so
yeah,
there is another classic example of why three options are so important. And we're not talking three bundle options either. I didn't tell him that if we rebuild both of them, here's the price. If we totally rebuild both of them, here's the price. And if we replace both of them, here's the price. I gave him three options for the kid's toilet and three options for his toilet. And he could pick different options for each bathroom.
Yeah.
And so it makes all the difference in the world whenever you do that. They get to buy on their terms.
Yeah.
When you came over to my house today to record this podcast.
Oh, fuck.
Well, I was on the phone with Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Because my truck has a stupid little minor recall.
Fixed or repaired daily. Yeah, I got it.
Sure.
Of course.
As you say, your Chevy also has a recall on it.
Yeah, but I don't care. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not getting into a Ford Chevy battle.
Okay. You're just going to get your dig and then run, huh?
No, I'm just going to say, I was just going to ask you a question.
Did you see the new Chevys have a heated tailgate now? So that way your hands don't get cold when you're pushing it in the winter?
Get the fuck out of here.
But anyway.
I was going to say, how many recalls are on them transits you drive around?
So surprisingly, surprisingly, the only one that has recalls on it is the E-Transit, and they're all stupid recalls.
Yeah, it's because Ford's a stupid company.
They're dumb.
They make stupid mistakes.
We got one active.
Buy stupid parts. You're 100% correct.
An active recall on it right now where, like, the driver's side rear half shaft may not be fully seated in the rear differential, and so they want to inspect it. And it's like, I'm hip on the Ford E-Transit forums, like, because of all the E-Transit videos I made.
Yeah.
I was, for a long time, I was kind of like the...
You were the loser.
The expert level in that thing.
Which is sad as fuck.
I know. It's dweeby, but...
No, it's not dweeby. It's sad that you were the expert.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious?
Well, we were one of... Yeah, no, I'm dead serious.
We had an E-Transit and we had a Lightning and it made us an expert because we had two.
I mean,
that's our problem.
Ford told me that I claim more E-Transit sales than any dealership out there because people walk into dealerships and they say they saw our videos on the E-Transit.
Oh,
and I'm like, where's my fucking money?
First off, those people should be asking, where's their money?
Yeah.
You fucking...
Yeah, I sold you an E-Transit.
Yeah.
Right? But anyway.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, that recall is kind of dumb, but I have this recall on my truck. And I don't want to just go drop it off at the dealership for an open-ended ticket. I don't know when I'm going to get it back. I don't know how long they're going to have it and all of that, especially now that summer's coming around and I want to get my boat out. And so I tell them, I want mobile service on this. I want you to come to my house and do this in my driveway on my terms. And so they get it all set up. They let me know that they have another recall on the truck that I have not received a letter for yet. And I probably won't qualify for this one because of the way this other recall has to do with the watertight seal around the tailgate camera. So the Fords have two cameras on the tailgate, one for when the tailgate is up and one for when the tailgate is down. And when the tailgate is up, the camera on top of the tailgate points to the sky and the system recognizes the tailgate's up and so it doesn't show the image.
Yeah.
But apparently the watertight seal around that one can be compromised and it lets water get into the system and messes up the connections and then you lose your rear view camera. And because I run a camper shell on mine most of the time, it's not ever seeing water anyway.
And it's parked inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that one they have to fix in the shop. They can't do mobile. And it can take several hours to fix it because once they fix it, they have to, you know, these trucks are too smart now. They have to reprogram the computer to register and understand the new camera.
Yeah.
Right? The cameras are like serial matched to the computer.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So on that one, I told them. I said, I don't want to just drop my truck off to you for an open-ended ticket. So I worked a deal with them. They're pre-ordering all the parts. And so that way, when I bring it in and drop it off, they may have it for 30 minutes and they inspect it and say, no, mine's not showing signs of wear, and so it's not qualified for the recall. Or they may say, yeah, we've already got the parts. We're going to go ahead and do the recall, which they probably will because they want the money.
They get money from Ford for doing it. Yeah.
And so they're going to say, oh, yeah, definitely needed it, but I'm going to drop it off and pick it up in one day instead of their standard process of dropping it off, they inspect it, then they order the parts. The parts may take 3 to 5 days to arrive. They've got my truck for a whole friggin' week. And so, again,
I mean, you'd probably get a loaner, but still, it's a goddamn pain in the ass.
They don't offer loaners, and if they do, you can't tow with their loaners. And the whole reason I need my truck is because I tow my boat.
Should have bought a Chevy.
Yeah.
Loaners at every cable donor.
But
regardless,
can you tow with
of
them?
Recall. I don't give a fuck if they say, oh, you can't tow with that. I'm towing with it. I don't give a fuck.
So, essentially, even when it comes to forced service like that, I still want the options. I want control over the decision. I don't want to be a lame duck. Have you ever heard the story about when we went to Cancun? And I got...
Which story?
Oh, so we rented these tiny little... They call them speedboats.
Yeah, is this the time you got in trouble and yelled at because you went out of line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have these little yellow speedboats.
I've heard this.
You go across this bay and through a mangrove and out to the ocean with these little speedboats. They have like a 15 or a 20 horse motor on the back. They see two people.
They're not real speedboats.
No, no. But
it ain't a jet boat.
They may as well have tied them all together and just pulled you with the front one. Because they give you the illusion that you have freedom to drive your own speedboat. But you don't get to pick the speed. And they want you nuts to butts, nose to tail, against the boat in front of you.
Yeah, it's the Democratic government.
Yeah.
Understood.
And so
the illusion of freedom.
The illusion of freedom. And so we're driving across this wide open water. I mean, I'm not kidding you. This water's 5 miles wide. Placid smooth. Okay. And like they tell us, they show you on a map, we're going to enter the open water here. We're going to drive here, try to stay in a line, keep the group together, and we're going to get to the other side. We're going to go through the mangrove and then out to the ocean. They don't really say, like, you must stay in a single file straight line. And so I'm having fun. I like boats. So I'm like going left and going right, and I'm going outside the wake of the boat in front of me. They shut the whole thing down.
Excuse me, Mr. Smedley.
Make all 30 boats stop. And they come back and yell at me, and my wife's so embarrassed. And I'm like,
yeah.
So why am I even driving this thing? And they're like, if you want to keep driving it, like, we'll take you back unless you can follow the rules.
I'd have told them, take me back, motherfucker. I'll race you.
Yeah. And so
you lead the way.
We end up, we take off again, and I do it again.
Oh,
and
shit.
Only this time I don't leave the wake, but I'm not in the prop wash of the boat in front of me. Let's say I'm 4 feet off center of the boat in front of me. They shut the whole thing down again and come back and say, this is your last warning.
How did you not know that would happen, though?
I mooed at the guy. I started mooing, and I embarrassed the fuck out of my wife.
But, how drunk were you?
Not very yet.
Yeah.
I was not sober, but I was not drunk. And he was like, why are you mooing? And I said, because I'm being herded like cattle. Like, the flyer said, drive a speedboat at your own leisure across an open water and through the mangrove, and now I'm being told I may as well just have a rope tied to the boat in front of me.
Yeah, you should have been like, hey, can I get a rope?
Yeah.
And give me some fucking daiquiris, buddy.
Yeah.
At least then I could enjoy my time.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So, but again, that just goes into the human nature of I want the options. I want the option to turn left or turn right when I want to. I want the option to go at whatever speed I want.
Yeah.
I want the option to enjoy this for how I want to enjoy it. Now, that doesn't give me the privilege to cause danger for somebody else, and that doesn't give me the entitlement to ruin somebody else's time. But let's be honest, 30 boats going across 3 mile wide water, and I'm 30 feet off to the
right.
Dude,
there were 10 other dudes that were like, I want to do the same thing, but
yes.
My wife's a cunt and I can't.
Exactly. So I was not endangering anybody else. I just wasn't following in line, right?
Yeah.
And so, but that's just our human nature that we demand options from people. And so ultimately, you need options in your sales process. And if you want to increase your sales, you want to increase your average ticket, and you want to increase your customer satisfaction, you need options. So if this show has brought you value, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share the void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. David and I saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, if this show brought you value, we want to grow the same way. So please do us a favor and share this episode with somebody that you know that needs to be doing a better job of providing options or needs to bring options into their company.
Yeah, boy.
So as always, we will see you later. I'll probably give you a little bit of follow-up to how this talk's going to go next week on the next show. So until next week, guys, we'll see you later.
See you.